in association with iFanboy, welcome again to Word Balloon, the comic book conversation show. This is John Sundress, and it's a special report of sorts because DC made big news this week. I'm sure by now we all know that DC announced its post-Flashpoint plans for the DC Universe, a reboot of sorts, 52 new titles, resetting of the clock in certain cases. They haven't really gone into very many details. We've got some of them that we're going to discuss today with Art Baltazar and Franco Aureliani, the Tiny Titans team, the writers of Young Justice. They're huge DC fans, as you know. So I thought they were appropriate guys to kind of talk about this initial news and just kind of spitball some possible ideas. Could be some of the things that we discuss is already old news. There are announcements coming each day with more creative teams being announced. We go over some of those with Art and Franco. I'll have more after the interview. Then we turn to Lori Gentile of Moonstone Books, who has a great new collection out called Chicks in Capes. It's a great short story collection with a lot of comic creators helping writing and doing the artwork for it. We'll let Lori talk about that, as well as the Kankakee Fantasy Con, which is an Illinois convention that's coming up this Saturday, June 4th. It's a good chance, as Lori says, for people outside of Chicago to not have to travel that far and meet some of the top creators from DC, Marvel, the independent world as well. Real good cross-section. We talk about FantasyCon with Lori in the second half of Word Balloon. But right now, let's turn things over to myself, Art, and Franco talking about the DC reboot. So big news today, boys.
Yes. As
we're recording.
Get new shoes.
That's right. As I said, in my Dan DeVito voice, when my back is against the wall, I got two words that I go to every day. Reboot. I did the cartoon back in the day on ABC, and now we're doing it with DC. Reboot.
That's right. It works. Works every time.
So 52 new titles.
Yes. Art and I are doing 51 of them.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Jeff Johns and Jim Lee are doing one other one.
JLA, and you're doing everything else.
We're rebooting Shazam, but we're calling it Justice League, and we're going to have Jim Lee and Jeff Johns work on it.
If you could bring back one DC title, this is something the geeks...
Aztec.
Which one?
Aztec.
Interesting. What about you, Artie?
Bring back one?
Yeah, from all time.
Super Friends. With Aquaman and the Wonder Twins.
All right.
It's called Jim Lee and Jeff Johns.
You know what I like? I like those adventure comics with Plastic Man and Starman. I really like those.
Okay. Yeah, which Starman was it?
The one with Paul Levitz wrote when he was wearing the red and yellow suit with the goggles.
Oh, okay.
Starman. I don't know if he is related to the... Yeah, I think he is really. He had the staff, but he's the guy from... He made it on the Justice League cartoon a few times. And they made a toy of him. They made a Justice League toy of him.
Is that Prince, whatever his name is?
I forget what his name was, but he was drawn by Steve Ditko.
Okay.
Ditko was drawing the comics. That's what I would relaunch.
All right. I like it.
With the Wonder Twins.
Yes. I'm trying to think of which one I would bring back. Yeah, I don't know. I want to say something science fiction, but I can't think of – I guess an Adam Strange. No, but even then, I don't know. I don't know if I'd necessarily – I guess what they're doing with Strange Adventures, but I would have it be more hero-oriented. Like, I'm a big Captain Comet fan. I mean, and I know it would not sell. I know it wouldn't sell. Like, Mysteries in Space, I guess, is what I would want.
Yes.
Mysteries in Space.
I like it.
Yes. Yeah, that would be what I would.
I used to like those old Batman family and Superman family.
Oh yeah,
books.
Yeah.
I used to like those.
Oh man, yeah. Well, that's another thing.
Oh yeah, man.
What were you gonna say? No, you go ahead, Artie.
Oh, there was a guy in those old Batman books. I think his name was just Mystery Man, and he was just all green. And he had a green mask, but then for a few adventures, he ran around with Batman and Robin.
Was that Commissioner Gordon, or was that the robot?
I think it was it might have been a robot. But I don't know. I think it was just a regular guy.
Okay.
Just run around with them. I thought that was good.
I'm confused. What are we doing here? Are we doing a word balloon, or are we doing an Oh Yeah podcast?
We're doing a word balloon.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah, word balloon. This is
I'm, like, totally confused.
Episode.
No, this is well, that's the thing. I wanted to reach out to somebody that would have a reaction to the DC thing.
And I'm like, you know, I kind of wanted to talk to you guys, but I thought, oh, maybe you can't talk on the record.
We can't, but we can still talk to you.
We don't know a lot of things that are on the record, though.
There you go.
We didn't know that we were that this stuff was happening.
There you go.
which is cool, because it explains why we don't get a lot of emails. So we're good, you know.
Well, and they said it was just DC Universe, so I'm assuming Johnny DC really isn't part of this deal.
Nah, Earth 53 was not affected.
Okay.
Yeah.
Don't say that. We're going to get in trouble.
Yeah. Get we can't like say that. Well, so, Earth 54. Sorry.
There you go.
we weren't really affected by it. If we were, we didn't know about it, you know?
Well, like I said before we started recording, I expect to see like a page or something of like one of the Tiny Titans walking in and go, like first of them, somebody going, hey, did somebody hear something? And then someone could just walk in and go, hey, look what happened. What? I got new boots. I've rebooted.
Yeah, you mean.
Yeah, I like it.
Cool. Yeah, we're thinking about reshoeing like Comet, the super horse. Some new horseshoes.
Get a reshoe.
Time for a reboot. Yeah. We've been rebooting every issue, though. Starting with, I think, issue 33. It's been a reboot every month.
A very subtle reboot.
Yeah, so if you really read closely, you could see the changes. You know,
we'll I like it.
Everybody we can.
I like it. I like Jim Lee and Jeff Johns there on Justice League. I think, you know, what's wrong with that? Nothing, I think. That's good.
Those guys are awesome. That Jeff Johns guy can write stuff.
Yeah. You know? But I'm thinking if you got those guys, I would make them do stuff too. You know, give them Justice League. Like, dudes, write this one, you know. Don't give them something that mediocre, like, ooh. Give him something like awesome.
I agree with that. I'm kind of bummed that we only got 12 issues of Jeff back on The Flash. I don't know if that – well, and I guess, you know, that's the thing. You know, we're recording and there might be new announcements by the time this thing gets released. In fact, I'm kind of counting on it. It sounds like this entire week is going to be announcements.
We're probably going to get a call tomorrow telling us what we're going to be doing, and it'll have to nullify this whole conversation.
We'll have to re-record. We'll have to reboot.
We'll have to reboot the whole podcast.
It could happen. Yes. It could easily happen. No, and that's why. I mean, I wanted, like, this is kind of the initial reaction Tuesday night after the Tuesday afternoon news, which was put out there by USA Today and then a couple press releases as well.
Really? It was in USA Today?
Yeah, it was online. It was online on USA.
This is huge.
A Today website. I don't know if it'll be in print tomorrow or not. I'm guessing – I have a feeling it probably will be.
This is how much I haven't been paying attention today. Been doing other things. So and I'm a bad reaction to this.
Everyone's concerned about day and date and the fact –
That's the big news, yeah.
You know, it's going to do that the same day as books come out in stores.
And I think that's a big game changer. Honestly,
it's interesting because we still haven't heard what the price point's going to be.
Did you hear about that, Art? That they're going to release all DC books are going to be released day and date digital. Same day they come out in stores, they're going to be released digitally.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Wow.
So already there's
big time.
Yeah, speculation in terms of, you know, is it going to be the same price? Is it going to be... I would think it's going to be the same price in fairness to the stores, but then again,
make it paid in digital, I would assume.
Well, what are the digital prices? The prices are $1.99 right now for digital, right? I think on a DC.
I think they're $2.99. Whatever the price of the comic is what they are. Okay. If they're date and date digital. If they're older stuff, I think they're less. But I think if it's date and date, I don't know.
Yeah, that makes sense.
The couple that they've released, like the first issue I know of Justice League Generation Lost was the same price as it was on the newsstand. You know, I'm trying to think of the other ones that DC has done simultaneously. I think that's the only one that comes to – oh, no, well, Brightest Day, I believe. I want to see the Brightest – yeah, I'm pretty sure Brightest Day was released day and date.
Well, I think ours were released. The Young Justice ones are day and date, and they're the same price point.
Were they, and have they been?
Yeah, yeah, they have been. The first four were released digitally, and they have been.
Okay, and at $2.99.
Yes.
Interesting.
Yes.
Okay.
I think so. Yes.
As it's been described to me so far, digital sales are equal to a really good selling store.
Oh, cool.
Really?
Well, that's, again, and this is just conjecture that I've gotten from nobody who actually was holding numbers but have been in meetings, and that's what they were told the numbers were. So it's interesting today, too, because – and I was tweeting this and sending around a link. Jan Werner of Rolling Stone magazine, the editor and publisher, had something in Adweek and was just talking about, yeah, you know, the iPad is definitely the future, but it's not the present because – right now, you know, the revenue isn't there from an advertising standpoint, and he's just like, I wouldn't convert right away to the iPad because right now he's like, he believes in the magazine being the best way to deliver the content. He's like, by all means, you should be online, and you should have the same editorial voice online that you have in your magazine. He said, but, you know, don't give away the content because, you know, at least for his purposes, you know, the majority of his readers are still willing to buy the magazine in subscription or on newsstands. And, you know, he's just like, right now the ad dollars online aren't there.
That's interesting. You know what strikes me as weird is how, to me, it seems that comics or, you know, DC and Marvel are kind of leading the charge for all print material online, because if you think about, like, you know, the New York Times or any of these other magazines, like, you know, you would think that, you know, maybe the New Yorker magazine or Esquire, one of these magazines, would have more of an online presence or let me rephrase that, more of an online revenue presence than they do. You know, from what I've seen, like, nobody will pick up Rolling Stone, you know, online, or nobody will download it online when they pick it up in magazine form.
True.
You know, it's just weird that they don't have more of a presence.
Well, I don't know if they've, again, been able to figure out what a fair price is online. And also, the other thing he said was that the online product should do things the magazine can't. So I can see adding, like, audio or video components to an online, you know, iPad version of Rolling Stone. But if you produce content like that, then obviously it's going to cost more money to make that stuff. So do you take a bath on that? Do you, you know, what do you use to pay for?
I wouldn't take a bath on that. You'd get electrocuted, Johnny.
That's true. All right, you got it.
It's true.
Sorry.
I knew right where you were going when you said bath.
Sorry.
That's all right. No, okay, it's right. No, but honestly, I
– the old ways. I'm sorry.
That's all right. This is also a chance for us to – promote the Oh Yeah podcast, so this is, you know, I want to do that, absolutely, man.
We're going Oh Yeah on you right there.
No, that's all right, you're allowed. No, you don't have to, you know, you don't have to stroke the beard. There's no reason to be serious or anything. Oh, you guys can have fun.
I shaved my beard off. What are you talking
about? Did you really?
Mangy, Johnny?
What's that, buddy?
Are you getting mangy?
No, we're good.
Because you're growing a beard?
Am I getting mangy? No, I don't have a beard. I'm fine.
Oh, okay.
I'm still clean shaven. Sure. It's not the evil version of me. No.
The Earth 2, Johnny.
That's right.
You know what bothers me is all the naysayers on the other side of the fence that DC has kind of, you know, announced this, and you're getting all the Marvel people kind of bashing and stuff like that. But doesn't, you know, my argument is always the industry needs both.
Yeah, absolutely.
To thrive, do well.
Well, I mean, honestly, they shouldn't squawk that much, because all you have to do is remind them, how about that whole Ultimate line that you've rebooted three times?
How'd the universe work out for you?
You know, yeah. I mean, that's the thing. It's all about trying to tell good stories, and the fact that DC's doing it all at once, I kind of give them credit for rolling the dice. I also think that if it doesn't work, okay, fine, no big deal. You go back. The important thing is to tell good stories. You know,
the thing about this is, like, it's almost like reminds me of the X-Men Age of Apocalypse. And my big thing about when that happened, I was real disappointed when it all went back to normal.
Sure.
Like if this is the new DC launching at all number ones, and if this is the way the universe is going to be, I think that would be awesome. And if they kept it like that, because now that they're launching at number one, they're going to get all these guys picking up. All these people are picking up the number ones, and it's like they said, 52 number ones. That's a lot of comics.
Oh yeah.
If people stick with them, they're going to have the new version of all these guys, and they won't have to know what happened before. You know, that's what I'm hoping. That's what I'm hoping for.
Sure.
I wish I had some inside scoops. I'm hope I'm like a fan just like everyone else waiting. But that would be awesome, I think.
Well, I kind of figured that's another reason why I'm like, oh, you know, we should talk about it because I know you guys are big fans of the, you know, beyond working for DC and stuff. You guys are big DC fans. Do you remember when the crisis happened?
Yes.
The original crisis? I came in, you see, I was in college, so I kind of came to the crisis like early on, but
you came
right
in mid-crisis?
I kind of did because I remember things like the last issue of World's Finest before Man of Steel and before the Crisis reboot. So I remember even in that last issue, there was kind of a little bit of an argument between Superman and Batman. They weren't quite friends anymore, and it felt weird. But like little things like that. And then just the idea of Crisis was so interesting and such a big deal. And I was kind of excited about the fact that, oh, this will be fun, a new chapter in DC. You know, Wally West is now the Flash. That's interesting. That'll be fun to follow. You know, feeling, you know, things like that.
And they left that for a long time. Wally West was there for a while.
Like,
you know?
20 years or something, 30 years as a Flash.
So, I mean, that seemed to work out well. He garnered a whole bunch of new fans, and they all cried foul when everybody brought, you know, when they brought Barry back.
Yeah, to the point where they didn't want Barry back,
Yeah. You know, so, I mean, change isn't necessarily a bad thing here.
No, I'm kind of excited. Yeah, what things do you guys remember from the first Crisis coming out of it and stuff did you guys enjoy?
I just remember that, you know, all the damage they did.
Yeah,
I liked
when,
like Supergirl and all that other stuff. Yeah, I mean, you know, they got rid of Barry, and that was just traumatic stuff, you know?
Yeah, that was like some of my first DC stuff that I actually went to the shop to buy, you know, because I had all of those books with no covers on them for a long time. But it was like the first time I saw the Superman with the gray hair, the gray temples, and Superboy, and I actually found, you know, saw that they were from the different Earths.
Yeah.
Because before I would know this, I would see him, but I wouldn't know where he fits. So this is the first time. So I liked it.
Well, I wonder how many new readers Crisis brought in. You know?
Yeah.
When that happened, because I know it brought in a lot of people.
I don't know if it was Crisis or Burns Man of Steel, because I do know that a lot of Marvel people were very interested to see what John Byrne was going to do with Superman.
That came out directly out of Crisis, though. That's what I'm saying.
True.
You know, so, I mean, that's something that would not have happened if it wasn't for Crisis happening.
You're right. Yeah, you're right.
And that was awesome.
You know, Crisis brought in a lot of people, you know, well, actually older readers to see what was happening because everybody had heard about it. I remember that. But then, you know, what all the reboots were about.
Well, and, you know,
I was going to say, Batman didn't really get rebooted from Crisis, did he?
He did. It did a little bit in the sense that you had kind of a soft reboot with Jason Todd, because Jason Todd originally was much more like Dick Grayson, in that he also came from an acrobatic family. His parents died. And then all of a sudden, I know after Batman Year One, when Max Collins was writing Batman briefly, Jason was introduced stealing Batman's tires off the Batmobile.
Yeah, I remember that.
Nobody
liked him. They killed him.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. He was more of a jerk because also before the reboot, that was that great Alan Moore story, Whatever Happened to the Man of Tomorrow. Not that one. Well, that one too, but also the annual with, oh God, now I'm blanking on his name, the alien. They did it on Justice League too, for the man who had everything with the Black Orchid.
Mongul.
Yeah.
And Jason's the hero in that one, because everyone else is screwed up by the Black Orchid and having their like little fantasy life while they're screwed up by the plant. And it's Robin who puts on Mongul's gloves and like removes the plant from everybody and ultimately puts it on Mongul.
Yeah, that's the same trade that they have, Whatever Happened to the Man of Tomorrow, right?
That's true, yes. Currently it's in that same trade. Right. But they were separate stories, and I think maybe even separated by a year, because one was an annual,
right?
And then the other was the end of the Superman continuity, the last two Superman stories that Julie Schwartz edited in Action and in Superman before the Man of Steel miniseries.
Good stuff.
Yep, and I remember Wonder Woman, obviously because of the Crisis, she reverted to clay.
Yeah.
And I know we had that.
Else?
We had that Trina Robbins, I think, miniseries, The Legend of Wonder Woman.
Yeah. You know what else one was real good was that Legends book with Darkseid. Darkseid just—he was fighting like a handful of heroes, like Blue Beetle and Shazam.
Wasn't that outside of continuity though, or was it?
No, I remember it started.
It was based on the toy line, wasn't it?
No, that was Superpowers.
Oh, okay.
The Legends was different. It was.
Did Mignola do the art on that?
No, it was John Byrne. John Byrne and I think Ordway.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, remember one of the covers had Darkseid and all the bad guy or all the good guys were in his hand in his clutches. It was one of those comic cliche covers where the villain has all the heroes in his hands and they're all facing off against each other.
Yes.
Oh, that was one of the best series ever.
No, I remember that. Yeah, yeah, I remember that. That was very good. It was
brought us in there too, I think.
Who was it?
Oh, that really brought us in the. That brought me in the DC big time.
That's cool.
That one.
That was I think the next event after Crisis, maybe the year after or something like that. So. No, I'll be interested to see who the creative teams are that they announced. They've announced a few things. I know they announced Johns and Ivan Rice doing Aquaman.
Oh, cool.
I'm looking on comicbookresources.com, and they've got a bigger picture of the full Justice League, and it's interesting to note that Cyborg is a leaguer.
Oh, yeah. Justice leaguer.
But they have some details on some of the titles so far that we know about. Let's see. We got a new Superman with written by Grant Morrison.
Oh, cool.
Birds of Prey number one.
Yeah, and it looks like Gail's still going to be doing that, which is awesome.
The new ongoing series will not feature the work of longtime BOP writer Gail Simone.
Thank you.
Many tried and true approaches to books will be getting a second look.
Interesting.
Teen Titans number one. Written by Phoebe Nixienza.
I just want to say I'm kind of that somebody else is going to be writing Birds of Prey, and it's not Gail.
It's not no JT.
No, Justice Society of America number one by Mark Guggenheim, or not involve Mark.
Won't involve Mark Guggenheim. I got to honestly say
Wonder Woman number one, not with J. Michael Straczynski.
Yeah, that doesn't
recording?
Surprise me. Exactly. It doesn't surprise me. I mean, honestly, the two byproducts of that whole run of Wonder Woman, I was happy for Don Kramer, and I was happy for Phil Hester.
Yeah.
When the opportunity to kind of take it over happened for Phil, I don't think it's a good idea. Although it's interesting that it looks like the outfit is staying that Jim Lee designed. But I thought that was, I wasn't crazy about that. Let's give her pants.
Yeah. Well, I'm okay with that. As long as I think her boots should be red, and then all's good with me. She should have red boots to match the top.
No, I understand. But I got to be, for the JSA, I wasn't liking Guggenheim stuff. And I like Guggenheim. I like a lot. I like Guggenheim Superman. I really like everything that he's, I like what he did with Superman Batman. And I've been a big fan of his in his Marvel work as well. But JSA hasn't done it for me since Jeff left. Nobody working on JSA has done it for me since Jeff Johns left.
I understand.
So let's see. It looks like Jeff's still writing Green Lantern.
He put love in your heart, didn't he?
What'd you say?
He put love in your heart.
He did put love in my heart. Although I've always been a big JSA fan. But he just got the book. That's why
he made it good for you.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And then I guess Hawkman. They say while fans have known a Hawkman series by James Robinson has been in the works since the writer mentioned it back in New York Comic Con.
Hello.
According to Rich Johnson, the book has been. Rich Johnson has been reporting the rumor that the book will be drawn by Philip Tan.
Hmm.
That's interesting. And then, they mentioned the Aquaman that we mentioned before about Jeff and Ivan Hayes.
Reese.
The other seismic shakeup that remains unconfirmed, whether Action Comics and Detective would also be renumbered.
Yeah.
So, I'm both ways on that. Because on the one hand, it's like, that's still like 8 years away or 9 years away for Action to reach 1,000.
Mm-hmm.
Or Detective, for that matter. Yeah, I don't know, man.
Issue 1000. Wow. They could always renumber it, you know, when they get a certain way. Or have Dr. Zoom go back in time and put it back the way it was.
That's kind of what I figured, too. I mean, you know, do it sort of the way Marvel does it, but without the BS and everything. And it's just, yeah, I would say when you hit a significant 100 anniversary, of course acknowledge it.
Yeah.
You know, or a year anniversary. That's the thing. Like, you know, when it's every decade, you acknowledge it and say, yeah, we've been publishing Batman for 60 years.
They renumbered Wonder Woman that way because she started over as a number one at one point.
Right.
And then when she went into the 600, they read that. It's
right. But that's what I'm saying. Rather than then go 601, 602, it's like, you know, it's meaningless. Just every time it's like a centennial or a decade, put something on the cover. That's all.
Yeah.
Celebrating the 1,000th issue of Action Comics. But regardless, whether it's Action 48 or whatever number it actually is when it comes out, whatever volume, who cares?
That's true, Johnny.
Who cares?
I don't care. I care about everything, actually.
But I don't know. I think some of these teams are kind of interesting.
Yeah, they didn't mention us on any of those.
Sorry, buddy.
Oh man. Sorry. Well, I'm drawing Chameleon Boy right now, so I'm okay with that.
The one book that I really hope makes the cut, although maybe it won't, is Batman Incorporated. I love what Grant's doing with Batman Incorporated.
Oh, that's an awesome book, yeah.
And I'd hate to see that story cut short. And another story like that, too, is what Scott Snyder and Francesco Francavilla are doing in Detective, the story about James Gordon's son.
Well, yeah. their story ends in August, and it was always originally slated to end in August.
Okay. And Francesco kind of told me when we talked that he's got a big they'll have a big announcement for him in the summer. So I'm assuming they'll announce his next DC assignment, you know, coming up. I know Lemire is excited. He's got some stuff coming up beyond what's already been reported. I have a feeling Sterling Gates will have something new. Did you guys? You guys haven't gotten your comp box yet. I have to say, I wasn't crazy about the entire run of J.T. Kroll's Green Arrow, but I really liked the way it wrapped up, and especially the last issue. So
I didn't get it. Yeah, I've been behind. I'm still reading when he's on. I'm still reading the beginning of the Brightest Day ones. So I'm a little bit behind on the J.T. Kroll ones. But I like his Teen Titans. I think he's good.
Me too. But yeah, again, I mean, I wonder, you know, I imagine that's going to be rebooted. So. Yeah.
Because they're wrapping up their storylines, and they're pushing, I think, aren't they pushing a couple of issues together, like biweekly or within the same month or something like that?
I heard rumors about that, but yeah, I guess that makes sense that they probably will double ship a couple things to kind of wrap them up. Kelly Sue's going to do a last Supergirl story, I guess.
Cool.
With Chris Cross.
Yeah.
Need a man to make a jump.
I saw her, exactly. I saw her last week. She came through town, and she was telling me about the book, and she's excited. And I forget, Fraction calls Chris Cross Christopher, which just makes sense. That's mad. So, and we're just a couple weeks away from the Green Lantern movie. I mean, that's the thing. It's a good idea. I hope that it works out in terms of if you like what you saw, here's the book. It's brand new. Come read it and stuff. So
I think it's going to be, I think it's just going to be fun. It's going to be create a lot of excitement and it's just going to be fun, I think.
Yeah. I like the image of, the Justice League was on USA Today.
I saw that.
I know people are going to go crazy, but I really like how Superman looks, even though they changed his collar up. But I think he's looks like he's younger and stuff too, and I'm looking forward to seeing if number one Superman is like going to be comparable to the first Action Comics appearance, like when he was young, like younger, and no one knew who he was. I wonder if that's going to be the way.
Well, and let's take it even one step further, guys. Is this an opportunity to get rid of the marriage and have Superman and Lois single again?
Well, that's true.
I'm wondering. I'm kind of for it. And, you know, it's been 20-some years, and given that you're starting at the beginning again, I say do it. I say roll back and let's have Superman and Lois single again.
They should have Superman, like, reveal his identity to the public, and then they should have, like, Dr. Fate, you know, do some sort of magic so everybody he did that.
Cool. Could work some deal with, like...
I've never heard of that before. That's incredible.
It's an awesome idea, right? I came up with it all on my own just now.
Yeah. Wow.
It's just Superman's memory, or just Lois Lane will forget, you know.
That'd be it's cool. All right. While we're talking, Mark Miller's asleep. He doesn't hear you what you're saying. That's all right. That's all right. Hey, I did that with Spider-Man. Damn you. What's wrong with you?
Yeah, Mephisto's not needed for the DC Universe.
That's true.
Good. Well, we should put him in Tiny Titans and mess things up a little bit.
I like that.
You know?
Well, that's what makes some of these Flashpoint miniseries kind of interesting. Like, and especially, now here's another thing. What's going to happen to Dick Grayson? Are they going to roll it all the way back to him being Robin? Are they going to just make him Nightwing? I mean, I like him as Batman, and I'm a little disappointed that we're not going to get more stories. Although we've had a few, and I give them credit for getting as much a mileage out of Dick Grayson as Robin as they have. But yeah, I wonder how that affects what's been going on specifically in the Batman office.
You know, it'd be cool. I would like to see him become Robin again, and just do an adult Robin with the yellow legs.
Oh, like the Earth 2 design.
Yeah, kind of like what they did in Brave and the Bold in the cartoon.
Sure. Yeah, if they reboot, they're going to reboot all the way, I think. I would think.
Yeah. I forgot. What
it'd be kind of cool, though.
I was still looking forward to the Nightwing and Deadman comic, but I haven't gotten that one yet.
Well, that's what I mean. I wonder if, like, this kind of adventure is like Dick Grayson's last stand as even Nightwing, and that I'm kind of, especially the fact that Deadman's in it, I'm almost wondering if...
Didn't they say in something, and again, I don't know, I could be totally wrong on this, but I thought I read something where somebody said that not every title is going to be getting, like, a full reboot. It's just some of the titles will and some of the stuff will kind of remain status quo.
Maybe.
Which is kind of a weird pairing, but also kind of interesting, you know?
Yeah.
He becomes Robin again. That'd be so good. I'll buy two of every comic every month if that happens.
You know that these conversations obviously had to have been going on in editorial and saying, okay, well, how far do we dial back? You know, because it's all
I'm
about
– afraid to talk now because I'm afraid I might have been in on some of those conversations.
Yeah.
It is. It's all about accessibility, and it's – I wonder – and reaching out to an audience that maybe hasn't thought about comic books in a while. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see – what parts of the soap opera are sacrificed, or at least said, okay, you know, time to move on. I just, and again, going back, you know, not to pick on him again, but you know, it was all over the first headlines of the news coming out, but there's a lot of snark going on across the street, coming off of a company just celebrated a brand new day not that long ago, with one of their major characters.
That's right.
And
yeah, they did.
You know, I mean, that's the thing. You can really – there's a laundry list. So that's why any Marvel fans or even Marvel employees that puff up their chest over this might have to be reminded that they've kind of gone through some reboots recently themselves.
I just want to go on record and say I work for DC Comics.
Yes. I'm still holding on to the Hulk, Red Hulk. But
there you go.
Slowly losing me. I'm still holding on and waiting to see what happens with him.
Red Hulk.
Well, I've told you this off the air, Johnny. That Dan Slott guy, he knows how to write Spider-Man. That's just
totally, and that's what I was going to say too. No, I think the changes that have happened in Spider-Man have only been for the better. We've gotten a lot of really good stories since the Mephisto incident, so I got no problem with that, man. You know,
I think Hulk might need a reboot, though. You know, he might need some shoes, but he doesn't wear shoes, so it's going to be tough.
Exactly.
To boot him.
Tough to find shoes for him.
Yeah.
He'd have to go wherever the – and is the Watcher – you never see the Watcher's feet. Does he have like Fred Flintstone feet or is he wearing boots?
It's true.
No, he wears boots.
I thought he wore boots, so maybe he could
–
he might be able to help the Hulk find some shoes.
I've got a thing. When he needs shoes, he should give the Hulk that business card.
Well, the thing's barefoot, right? The thing's barefoot.
Yeah. He used to wear shoes. He had shoes and a helmet at one point.
Yeah, I remember the helmet. That was a bad look for him.
Did you ever see the comic where Spider-Man went to the tailor? Was it like a superhero tailor who would repair the old superhero costumes?
And the bad guy was there.
Yeah, and he told Spider-Man, you got to only come like on Tuesdays and Thursdays. And he said, why? He said, well, because the bad guys come on Mondays and Wednesdays. And then because he saw Dr. Doom's armor was hanging and he was getting, or his cape or something was getting fixed. He goes, yeah, Dr. Doom will be picking up his suit tomorrow. So come next Thursday. That's good guy day. He's like, what the?
Was that Straczynski or was that earlier?
That might have been after McFarlane, but before, man, yeah, it might have been around Straczynski or right before him, maybe.
Okay. Cause
I know I was working in a comic shop at the time when that stuff was happening.
Okay, because I remember reading a Batman short story. It wasn't a comic, where it was called, and the name of it was called Mike Resnick wrote it, and it was called Neutral Ground, and it was a tailor in Gotham that worked for both the villains and for Batman, and it was funny because he went in and he was getting his gauntlets reinforced, because it actually like he even had the utility belt, and he goes, look, he goes, you see. He goes, I know you like silk for your bat rope, he said, but I use this because it's thinner and it'll give you the same kind of strength. And he goes, yeah, but won't it cut through my gauntlets? You know, and he goes, yeah, but I can reinforce the gauntlets so it won't be a problem. And so Batman says, okay, do it. And
it, $2 upcharge.
Exactly. And then he leaves, and 10 minutes later the Riddler comes in. And he's like, no, I'm very serious. I forget how many question marks he wanted on his uniform. And he's like, that's cool. All right, don't worry about it, you know. So, yeah, it was very funny. Like it was very funny. So, cool. Yeah, I like those ideas. Those are always funny.
Because he got it. They got, like, Batman always has to get his car repaired. Like, where would he go to get that, you know?
He's a super genius.
Yeah, I would think him and Alfred would take care of that. Put it on the...
There's a guy on the cartoon, an animated series, who designed the car for him. I forget, it's an older guy, and there was a reference to him as in maybe the 40s or 50s in one of the comics, and they brought him back in the animated series, but I forget what the guy's name was.
Oh, that's wild.
For anybody listening, they could blog it right now and Google it and find out and get back to us.
Yeah, get back to us on that, will you?
Yeah, we're at the Oh Yeah podcast or Word Balloon.
Now, if you're enjoying the banter you hear here and you don't listen to the Oh Yeah podcast, you're making a big mistake because we always have a good time. We hang out. It's a very casual conversation usually between the three of us. Sometimes we have guests.
Yes.
But
we do like one or two episodes a year. It's awesome.
And it's been a fun time so far. We started it in August. And
we did. Oh, our anniversary's coming up.
It's approaching a year.
That's scary.
5 months.
It's true. It's true.
Oh, we got to do a special Oh Yeah podcast episode.
We could do that. Every issue is special. You know, I don't number my word balloons. I should.
You got to start. Well, we could reboot it at number one right now.
We could. We should.
This will be number one.
This is the first episode of Word Balloon.
All right, I got a great idea for Word Balloon. I think you ought to reboot and get Jim Lee to draw the logo. Jeff Johns can write it for you.
Yeah.
We're going to be rebooting Word Balloon. It is now called Thought Balloon. Everybody will just sit in a room and think about things for a while.
I think
we're going to call it caption, word caption.
I was going to say, I think there is a Thought Balloon comic blog already. I'm lucky.
Yours is better, Johnny. You're number one.
No, I'm lucky I got Word Balloon today. There was The Word Balloon before me that was a comic website, but they had stopped after like 2001, and I started in 2005, so I kind of figured it was close. I just had the 5th anniversary.
Anniversary.
Last month,
congrats, Johnny.
May 10th.
But you're number one on USA Today. The same company or the same paper that broke this relaunching story. So you're good.
That's true.
They gave you the number one word balloon.
You are the number one comics podcast, Johnny.
No, according,
you are, Johnny.
That's the only reason we agreed to come on with you, or else we were going to go to that other one.
I know.
And we're rebooting your show right now.
I appreciate it. Shout out to USA Today. Hey.
The word balloon reboot.
That was an All Yeah podcast moment right
that's
there.
Exactly, yeah. Right. Yeah, no Mike.
We didn't have a Mike Norton moment.
Should we have a Mike Norton moment? You see, that's the kind of thing you miss out on if you don't listen to the All Yeah podcast, is things like the Mike Norton moment.
I think people already tuned out by now.
Got one. I got a Mike Norton.
Do you? Let's tee him up, Artie.
And now, a Mike Norton moment. Well, I can't even say it. Edit that, Johnny. And now, a Mike Norton moment.
Well, how come I don't get a reboot?
I got holes in my shoes. I need a reboot.
I gotta go see a cobbler.
Mike's off doing Fear Itself, Youth in Revolt with McKeever.
He left us for that other company, that McKeever guy.
I know. I'm sorry.
You know what? I read the Fear Itself number one, and I liked it. And I went to the store to get the second part, and it's gone.
Oh,
I don't know what happened after.
I got to be honest, and I love Fraction, but that second issue, you didn't miss much.
Oh, good.
You really did.
I like that Planet of the Apes, but oh, can't talk about it because Franco didn't read it yet.
No, I haven't. So I got it in my pile of stuff to read.
Which haven't you read yet?
Fear Itself and/or Planet of the Apes.
Oh, I got to tell you, I just read issue two today. In fact,
Apes.
I just picked up issue two.
I like.
Does it make up for issue one?
Oh, you didn't like the first issue?
Oh, God, I'm sorry, John.
That's okay. You're not offending me.
Man. Oh man. It was hard. It was hard. Sir, hard.
No, I understand. There is something missing, but I still like the story itself.
I got to read issue two because I haven't read issue one. I already told him what I thought, but man, I bought issue two.
We do a lot of name talk on both Word Balloon and on the Oh Yeah podcast, but I haven't had the opportunity to talk about this yet, and I'm very excited. I'll be talking to Steve Christie from Archaea Books about this. Did you hear about the new Planet of the Apes illustrated novel that's coming out this summer?
No.
It's called Conspiracy on the Planet of the Apes, and it takes place between the first movie with Charlton Heston, my god, and Escape from the Planet of the Apes, because it kind of answers the question, how did the apes fly Taylor's ship back to the present?
You're right. I've always knew about man.
And it supposedly involves Landon, one of the astronauts, the one that has his mind cut out with that lobot.
Cut him.
So it's him. It's the surgeon that operated, I assume, on both Landon and Taylor, Dr. Galen. Not to be confused.
Thank you, doctor. Thank you for calling me Taylor.
And Milo, Dr. Milo. Because apparently that's why Dr. Milo's with Cornelius and Zira. Maybe he's the one that learns how to fly the ship.
Dr. Milo knew. We came from your future.
I've examined hundreds of humans. Yeah, of course you have.
That's right.
Madame Zira, you want to say that again? Was is los?
Do you have a comment? Not yet.
So, no, it sounds great. And Steranko did the cover. And a bunch of really cool artists, including Joe Jusko, are doing illustrations for this book. But it really sounds fantastic. I'm very
awesome.
I think it's and I love when they figure out in between continuity, like that Shadows of the Empire. Wasn't it Shadows of the Empire, the novel?
Yeah, Star Wars book.
Exactly.
Yeah, that was cool.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's when you can figure out that kind of storytelling, that's you got my interest, and it sounds really really cool. I got a press release on it last week. It sounds fantastic.
I got to go back and watch the Tim Burton Planet of the Apes now.
No, you know.
That was funny. Ha ha.
General Thade. Helena Bonham Carter. Ugh. Who looked cute with her monkey makeup?
Yeah.
She looks good with the monkey makeup rather than without it.
That's a little bit how this new Apes book looks, is the apes look like that almost.
Like Helena Bonham Carter?
Yeah, and they're wearing Queen Amidala outfits.
That's true.
So it threw me off a little bit.
Well, it's 12.
I don't want to ruin it.
It's 1,200 years before Taylor.
Yeah,
and it's like couple hundred years after Caesar.
You know what it really needed? It needed a reboot.
That's right. I like it.
Should John's right at number one.
Meet the Vets guy of a drawing.
Good. Would have been good.
Well, did you guys read Strange Adventures? I don't know if that pull box came to you guys yet.
No.
It had an Ultra the Multi-Alien story with Jeff Lemire.
Wow.
I got to read that now.
He wrote and drew it. It was pretty cool.
I like Jeff Lemire. He's a good man.
I like Jeff, too. I like his Superboy. That's the thing. It'll be now, again, we're down to 52 books. So it's going to be interesting to see which books stay and which books go.
How many books they got now?
I don't know.
53.
I think they got more than 52.
I think well, we usually work on two, so at least 50 more. So I don't know if they.
Well, again, this is I guess just for the DC universe. I don't think Johnny DC or Vertigo counts in that count.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, assume. Well, that's good.
So. But yeah, I want you know. I mean, is there going to be an ongoing Swamp Thing, or is the miniseries just going to kind of give Swamp Thing the new status quo before they get to the new books? It'll be interesting to see.
Did they reveal what Swamp Thing's real name is? Does he have a name
other than Alec Holland?
Oh, is that his name?
Yeah, that was the scientist. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he kind of that was the end of Brightest Day. He rebonded with Alec Holland.
Oh, I just read up to 22. I got to read 23. Oh, man. And
I didn't mean to spoil there for you, Arthur.
No, that's right. I knew already. People write online and email me things.
Well, and you know, John Constantine's back in the DCU as well.
Does he still smoke?
Yes, he does. Yeah, the last scene. Oh, good. That's the last scene in Brightest Day.
Oh, I didn't know that either.
It's pretty cool.
Oh man,
spoiling all the
spoilers.
Yeah, I'm. It was a couple months.
Spoiler, you got a spoiler. Hey.
Hey. Well, I won't spoil JLA, Generations Lost. I thought that was very good. Judd Winnick did a really good job on that book.
I'm going to have to read that now, too.
Oh, man.
Is that where – did he take over from Robinson?
No, that was
this is a different miniseries.
Yeah, those were the two biweekly miniseries last year.
Oh, okay. Because I got Robinson stuff in trades.
Hello, love. Well, and I wonder if that's going to affect James's Shade Maxi series. I hope not. I have a feeling. I mean, yeah, that's. I thought that one was kind of well in on its way. But we can wrap this up. This was a good. Because honestly, all we got is the first day of speculation. And as I say, I know more information is coming out. As I release this, I kind of want to get the full story. I always like to wait a couple days, hear all the press releases come out, find out what the plans are, and then, okay, let's get some more people on and talk about it and see what's going on. Because a lot of this initial speculation, as we said, could very well be contradicted by facts once we get those facts.
That's cool, except I don't think contradicted is actually a word.
Contradicted.
You got to say it 5 times, and then you'll be fine.
See, it's not that smart of a show. It's Word Balloon. That's all right. I got you.
Oh, you're the smartest man in comics I know.
Oh, shut up.
Rebooting it. It's going to be called, oh, yeah, Word Balloon now.
I'm the tallest midget. I'm the tallest midget in comic book podcasts. It's true. Continued success with Tiny Titans. What's the next issue?
We just finished a Bizarro book.
I don't know. We rebooted, 41? So I can't remember.
Rebooted. It's a Bizarro book. Young Bizarro's in love.
Awesome.
I just finished it today, probably about an hour ago.
Fantastic.
No, that's not the next one coming out. The next one coming out is...
I think the Flash, Kid Flashpoint, I think it is.
Yeah, Kid Flashpoint. All right, awesome. Very cool. So we'll be looking for that on the stands.
Yeah. Kid Flash. So that's issue 41, and then issue 42 will be the reboot.
And then we also have Young Justice number 5 coming out soon.
Excellent.
Yeah, that's right.
Now
we just saw issue 6 today, and it looks awesome.
Is that Mike's last issue, or is it somebody else drawing?
No, 4 was Mike's last issue. 5 is
Chris Jones.
Chris Jones.
Oh, very nice, Christopher Jones. Excellent, yeah. Very good. Johnny DC artist. He did Batman Adventures for years. Batman Strikes or Batman Adventures? I can't remember which.
He did the Batman Strikes.
There you go. Excellent.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, he's real good.
Absolutely.
We met him in some small tumbleweed show, and he was wearing a shirt with fire on it. That's how I remember the guy.
Oh, that's
the guy with the fire shirt.
Hilarious.
Yeah. But it's a cool issue. It goes into their origins a little bit, and it gives you more detail than the show ever did, actually.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Superboy looks really good. I like the way Chris Jones draws Superboy.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's cool. Well, yeah, we'll look forward to that and look forward to new episodes of the Oh Yeah podcast, part of the Word Balloon Network. You can hear more of our nonsense, and please do. And I think you'll enjoy it because it's always fun.
Yeah, man.
Well, thank you, boys.
You should link it.
Oh, thank you,
link
sir.
All this and make a big family thing out of it.
It's true. That's the long-term plan, sir.
Yeah.
But no, thanks, boys. I appreciate it, and I'm sure I'll be talking to you in seconds after I turn off this recorder.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. See you in like 1 second, Johnny.
Okay, bye-bye.
You're a good man. Okay, I like Pink very much. Bye-bye.
That's Art and Franco. Figures, as always, I get a little punchy and I try to invent a new word. There's been some more rumors coming out, mostly from Rich Johnson's Bleeding Cool site. And now Rich is saying that Grifter is among the 52 titles that DC might be putting out. We're hearing OMAC might be part of the mix. My Greatest Adventure, is that possible? An Adventure Comics featuring Deadman. Rumors of Superman and Wonder Woman hooking up. All speculation, mostly rumor, nothing confirmed by DC yet. But as the days and weeks continue, Word Balloon already has some Flashpoint creators lined up. So I imagine as the reboot stories unfold, we'll have more to talk about. And certainly want your input as well. So this is a good opportunity to say, feel free to contact the Word Balloon hotline and voice your opinions on the DC relaunch. The number is 312-841-7025. 312-841-7025 for the Word Balloon podcast hotline. Now we switch to the independent world and a conversation with Lori Gentile. And Lori is here to talk about the Moonstone Books anthology Chicks in Capes, but also to talk a bit about Kankakee's Fantasy Con happening this weekend.
Did you want to talk about the Kankakee Fantasy Con first?
Yes, I do. All right, okay. let's start there. Tell me about what's happening in Kankakee.
All right, so we've got Saturday, June 4th, so that's this Saturday. We've got a free comic convention at the Kankakee Public Library, which is at 201 East Merchant Street in Kankakee. Starts at 10 a.m., goes to 5 p.m. It is a completely free event with a bunch of Chicago area creators coming out. The whole point of this event is to get new readers into comics, because a lot of people do read graphic novels at the local library, but they haven't really gone to a comic convention before. They've never really had access, especially Kankakee is a little farther south than what's considered the Chicagoland suburbs. So it's a little farther out there. So this just gives a chance to the folks that are interested in comics who haven't been to a comic show to talk to some creators and to just see what comics are all about.
That's terrific.
So we've got a ton of creators coming out, and we're going to have a couple little seminars. And, you know, we've also got some gaming happening, so there's going to be some Yu-Gi-Oh!, Magic, and Pokemon tournaments, a couple panel discussions. Gene Ha is doing how to draw comics for kids. So just a whole lot going on throughout the day, just as an introduction to the medium.
Well, tell us about some of the other creators that are going to be there.
All right, we got all kinds of folks coming out. Let's see. We have Dan Doherty.
Very nice.
And Rafael Naives, who
excellent.
Have been, let's see, Dan's been working on Rotten, and Dan and Raf together have been working on Bob the Plumber. So they've been Chicago area staples for conventions for several years now.
Absolutely. Raf had his history at Marvel writing Hellstrom.
Correct. And, right. That's where he really made his name. And that stuff is really good. They need to reprint it.
Yeah, that's a good point. And he and Dan also did that Apocalypse contract.
Yes, the Apocalypse Plan, I believe.
Excuse me, the Apocalypse Plan. There you go.
Yeah. So. Then we have John Everson, who is a horror novelist who's written a whole bunch of stuff. And he's written a couple things for Moonstone over the years, too. A Kolchak story and, I believe, a Green Hornet story. So he's going to be there signing copies of his own books. And, of course, he's going to be doing a live reading, too. I'm not sure which story he's selected, but that'll be happening, too.
Very nice.
We have Francesco, who has done a lot of art for various comic companies over the years, and he's just a lot of fun. Chris Mitten, who, of course, has done Wasteland for Oni.
You bet.
And Kanan Lynch at Wildstorm/DC.
Mm-hmm.
And his newest thing, I believe, is Criminal Macabre, coming out from Dark Horse.
Oh, fantastic. Cal McDonald stories. Very good.
Yes, yes. We also have some paranormal people coming out. We've got the Illinois Paranormal Society, and we also have the Paranormal Cops coming out, just for, you know, something a little bit more fun. You know,
sure.
Again, we're trying to do all different types of genre-related folks. So we've got artists, comic artists, writers. We've got a couple comic book / game retailers there. We've got then we got some of these paranormal guys. So, you know, something for everybody. Is
very
the whole
good.
Point. We also have Aaron Shapps, who has done the General Jack Cosmos stuff, and Mike Beasley's coming out. He has done Grimm, that's what it's called.
Very cool.
And then we've got Tim Seeley, of course, from Hack Slash, big name. Jenny Frizen, who has done various comic covers. I believe she's done some Angel covers for IDW and some other
cover art too. She's doing True Blood right now for IDW as well.
There you go. Chris Burnham, of course, from Batman. Mike Babinski, who has worked as Don Kramer's inker for a few years, and then he also, I believe, is now doing some inking work over at Marvel. Then we've got Stephen Bryant, that's S-T-E-P-H-E-N.
So
not to be confused with Steve Bryant, which is S-T-E-V-E Bryant. Both of them will be there.
Oh, very nice. Oh, you got both Steve Bryants. Very good.
Yes. Steve Bryant with a V, of course, worked on Althena Valtaire. And Stephen Bryant has done some work for Moonstone over the years.
Oh, very nice.
We've got Paul Story, I believe, making the trip out.
All right.
He, of course, has written Gotham Girls for DC and worked at, he's done something for almost every publisher that I can think of. He's really quite prolific.
Yes, I'm trying to remember the name of the Moonstone miniseries he did for you guys.
He did Revisionary.
Yes, the Revisionary, of course.
Yeah, and he's also going to be working on he's writing the new Sheena comic for Moonstone, too.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
We talked to him at C2E2 about Sheena.
Oh, excellent.
So very cool.
We've got Paul Mounts coming out, of course, the award-winning colorist, currently colorist on FF.
Yep.
Over at Marvel and many other books. We've got Tony Akins, who recently wrapped up his run of Jack of Fables over at Vertigo.
Yes, we love Tony.
We've got Doug Klubba, who, of course, has painted many a book for both Moonstone, and I know he's also done some work at Dynamite.
Yep.
He just does some gorgeous work, as you know.
Good friend of the program, absolutely.
Exactly. Gene Ha, who recently got an exclusive contract over at DC, and he's been a staple over there for years.
Yeah, currently working on Flashpoint Superman, so that's going to be interesting to see whatever alternate world Superman design Gene has for that book.
Oh, yeah. Well, anything Gene does is usually worth turning into.
Oh, yeah.
Then we've got Nate Powell, who did Swallow Me Whole, and his new graphic novel is coming out, I want to say, later this year. Then we also have Don Kramer. Don Kramer is actually a local artist down in Kankakee, so he's kind of a staple out there. But, of course, he's currently the penciler on Wonder Woman and also did JSA and Batman. He's done all the big boys.
Oh, yeah.
And Tony Maldonado will be coming out. He's got that new web series, I believe it's called P.I. Jane.
Yes, he's been telling me about that. And, of course, he worked with Len Cody on Chicago 68 and has done some great cartooning. He's a multifaceted cartoonist.
Oh, right. Yeah. He's another just Chicago convention staple out there. Josh Elder is going to be there. He's the man behind Reading with Pictures.
Mm-hmm.
He actually was at the Kankakee Library in April. It's kind of like a little introduction to folks about comics. So he basically tours giving presentations on using comics in the classroom.
Mm-hmm.
So he will be there, too, and he'll be giving a discussion. And also something really neat that we've got going at 2:30, we've got Charlie Adlard via Skype.
So terrific.
Everyone can sit down and ask him questions, and he'll be projected on a big screen.
That's great.
You know, obviously he's not here in Chicago, but that's just kind of fun to have him there via the Skype.
Yeah, and I know a lot of other libraries do that for presentations and stuff when they can't bring an author or an artist in. I think that's terrific.
Yeah, I mean, it was a great idea. I was very, very happy that they came up with that. In fact, the librarians were the ones that contacted Charlie and got in touch with him, so that worked out really well.
Terrific.
So, yeah, we're very excited. You know, we're hoping it's just like a really neat endeavor, and maybe this will be successful enough that we can do it again. I really am hoping that this just exposes comics to just a lot of folks that wouldn't necessarily either be exposed or were curious but weren't curious enough to actually go to a convention or a comic shop.
Well, and as you say, seizing upon that audience that's already there at the library. And in fact, at C2E2, at the podcast panel, which has been an episode of Word Balloon, we talked about that, and a couple of librarians showed up to the panel and talked about how they were hoping that more of the podcast would recommend adult books, because they said it's no problem to find good kids' books in comic form to order, but that they're always looking for good independent graphic novels to get.
They want to carry a selection, too, just like your average comic shop. They want to have something for everybody.
Sure. No, I think, and again, I always say it's the library is such a great solution. I mean, I feel for the people in their 20s. I'm sure you ran into the same. Well, maybe not because you were working, and you guys had the businesses of the stores. But I know in that you know post college years, where every dollar counts and stuff, you can't afford to read the books that you want to read. And,
oh no!
And the library is such a great alternative. And really, they do a good job. Most good libraries of stocking a lot of current, you know, are constantly on the lookout for current graphic novels and always giving their readers something to read.
It's really great, and the Kankakee Library does a stellar job with that. You know, really, there is no local shop in Kankakee.
Okay.
I'm pretty much the Frankfurt Amazing Fantasy Books and Comics is the closest one. We're about a half hour away.
There you go, yeah.
But, you know, I've been working with those librarians for the last few years. They're really great. They know their comics, they love their comics, and they are very excited to promote comics. It, you know, again, they had Josh Elder out there, and on top of that, they've got a great graphic novel selection. So, again, I think they, too, are trying to expand their base, not just the kids' graphic novels, which, yeah, like you said, it's easy enough to carry a great selection of those. But it is nice to be able to carry the indies and, you know, more of the stuff that's mainstream, you know, like the mainstream superhero books and, of course, the Vertigo books and everything like that. It's important for libraries to have a good selection for everybody.
So if you're in the kind of, you know, post-Joliet and I guess north of central Illinois area, the Kankakee Library would be a great place to go next Saturday, this coming Saturday, from 10 to 5.
Oh, yeah, especially because it's free.
There you go.
You don't even have to pay to get in. You don't have to pay to park. You can come hang out, talk to folks. A lot of the artists will be doing sketches for, you know, various commissions. And, of course, they'll all be bringing the various books and comics that they've worked on to sign for people. They'll, of course, answer questions. And it'll just be a great opportunity for people to be able to meet creators right in their local community without having to make a trip in.
That's terrific.
The big city. So.
Absolutely. No, that's great, Laurie. I'm really glad you're organizing this. It sounded great when you told me about it a year ago, and I'm glad it's come together and you've got a nice group of creators and writers and artists together. And also, again, that stroke of genius by the library, getting Charlie Adler via Skype. So
Yeah. It's going to be a lot of fun. It'll be just a really fun day, and there's something for everybody because we've got some artists and writers that do more kid-friendly stuff, and we've got stuff that's, you know, more mature readers. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, we've got a couple indie folks out there. So something for everybody. And I think a lot of people that are going to come out to the show, a lot of folks in the local community will be very surprised to see the type of comics that are now available that they may not even have been aware of before.
There you go. Excellent. And again, reaffirmation of, I think, the great Chicago area comics community, all the different people that we have here, and I'm glad so many of them have come on board for this event, so that's awesome.
I know. You know, Chicago is just great because we have so many local creators, and when I contacted everybody, they were very, you know, interested in doing this, even though it is our first time, and it's a small show, and it's a little farther out than the Chicago suburbs, but a lot of people were nice enough to agree to come out, so we're very excited.
Well, and again, this is the kind of thing that libraries can do and still remain viable in the ever-changing reading world. And, I think as we move towards digital books, everyone is wondering what role libraries will play in the future. And it is these kinds of salon kind of settings where, you know, groups of fans can get together and discuss and everything. And I think that that's a really good use of the community library.
Oh, yeah. You know, and then they can have, you know, the various discussion groups. And, of course, the Kankakee Library is very good at bringing in various authors for talks and stuff like that. So this is just an extension of that, but focusing on comics.
Sure. Awesome. Well done, lady. I hope it's a success.
I certainly hope so.
Well, yeah, no, I wish you all the success, and I hope to be there, and I'm going to do all I can to be out there as well on Saturday and say hi to
the
usuals.
So 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. There are more details on the Kankakee Fantasy Con Facebook page, and if you just do a search for Kankakee Fantasy Con, it'll come up. You can become a fan of the Facebook page, and of course, there's details on their location and creators that are going to be there and things like that.
K-A-N-K-A-K-E-E.
K-A-N-K-A-K-E-E.
It is. It's spelled, it's spelled the way it's exactly. It's spelled the way it sounds. So that's very good.
Exactly. Yeah.
Awesome.
And you know, the library there is located in the little downtown area of Kankakee. I believe parking is going to be across the street. So you know, it's it's really going to be something unique for that area. It'll be a lot of fun.
Awesome. Now tell me, Moonstone has, you know, it's been a few years now that they've kind of transitioned into both comics and collected short stories. I mean, really, the Kolchak collection goes way back.
It has been several years that we've been doing this. So let me just really quickly go back to the FantasyCon.
Oh, well, by all means, of course.
That is co-sponsored by our shop's Amazing Fantasy Books and Comics. We have four stores in the southwest suburbs. We have Frankfurt, Calumet City, Tinley Park, and Lockport. We've been around since 1978, and the librarians had approached us to help them organize this and to get some creators out for the FantasyCon. So we're very excited about that. Our sister company is Moonstone, which has been publishing comics for, oh, Lord, I want to say over 15 years now. And, yeah, the prose anthologies we started a number of years ago. And, yeah, the very first one was Kolchak Chronicles, which, of course, Doug Klubba provided such a wonderful cover for.
There you go. Very
and,
cool.
Yeah, we, one of the newest ones that we just published is Chicks and Capes, which I'm very excited about.
Yes, tell me about it. Now, did you edit Chicks and Capes?
Yeah, this was my project. I got Karen O'Brien to come help me co-edit. She works for Comic Buyer's Guide. She writes various articles for them, and she's an editor herself full-time. So I asked her to come help me with this. I approached a number of female writers to create new superheroes exclusively for this anthology focused on just female superheroines. And I just thought it would be kind of fun to have both comic book writers that we all know and love and regular fiction writers come into this. We have a nice mix of authors and the types of characters that they created. It was a lot of fun. We got something for everybody in the mix. We also have two of our known properties from Moonstone featured in stories in the mix, including Domino Lady by Nancy Holder. Domino Lady is a pulp character that we've been doing. Let's see, we had an anthology of short stories and a selection of comics come out so far for Domino Lady.
Who created also, Domino Lady?
I'm sorry, what?
Who created Domino Lady? Wasn't that Steranko? I thought that was a Steranko character. Maybe
no,
I'm wrong.
No. He actually did...
I don't want to get you in trouble. There you go.
No, it is not Steranko. Hang on a second. I'm going to go look at...
Oh, is it an old pulp character?
It's an old pulp character, yes.
Very cool.
Now, Steranko did do a Domino Lady story collection, something to that effect. But, yeah, you know, she's just a known property, just like the Shadow and the Avenger.
Very cool.
Doc Savage and all those other old pulp characters. So we have a Domino Lady story in Chicks and Capes, along with Lady Action, which is a spinoff of the Captain Action series.
Yes, okay, very good.
And then we've got a whole bunch of other new stuff in here. We've got a story by Kathy Clamp. We've got Valerie D'Orazio.
Very cool.
Jennifer Fallon, Jillian Hobarth, Barbara Randall-Kiesel, Elaine Lee, Elizabeth Massey, K.G. Maccabee, Trina Robbins,
wow.
Debbie Vigue. I can't pronounce her last name. I'm sorry. It's V-I-G-U-I-E.
Okay. Excellent.
But, yeah, you know, it's a lot of fun. And then, of course, the illustrations are done by Emily Stone, who worked on Hack Slash for
yes,
a number
indeed.
Of years. And we have two covers. We've got an Emily Stone painted cover and a Nicola Scott painted cover.
Oh, that's terrific.
Yeah, so the whole project was done by women. We've got two female editors. All the writers are female. All the stories are about women. And the artists were women. So it was a really fun project to work on. Very excited.
And does each story have just the one illo at the start of the book?
Or, correct. Yeah,
okay, or at the start of the story?
The formula we've used for the Moonstone prose anthologies over the last few years. At the beginning of the story, you'll have like a splash illustration kind of summing up the story. In this case, it gives you a nice illustration of the main character because a lot of these characters are new for the prose anthology. So you get a chance to see what the character looks like before you read the story.
That's really terrific, and I've enjoyed the short story collections. You know, the Kolchak one is among my favorites. The Green Hornet one was exceptional. The Avenger one was exceptional. They're all still available, I'm assuming, through the Moonstone website, correct?
Correct, yeah. So moonstonebooks.com, you can still buy all of them. As far as I know, there might be one or two that are currently out of stock, but we will be going to press on anything that is out of stock.
Very cool. Moonstone always grabs these great licenses of great cult classics and things like Buckaroo Banzai and Captain Action, Honey West. I was so excited when Honey West came up, and so glad to see that the local rerun channel, MeTV, here in Chicago, started showing Honey West episodes, which I had never seen.
Oh, my God, they started showing them? That's awesome.
Yeah, they're on Saturday nights at, either midnight or 1 a.m.
Oh, that's very cool. You know, I had never seen any Honey West episodes, but when we got the license for the character, I started watching all them because you can buy the series on DVD.
Yep.
So I watched them all, and then we had, we started to get some writers lined up to do the comics. So Trina Robbins wrote the first two issues, then Elaine Lee wrote the next three issues. So far, three issues have been released, and number four for Honey West actually is coming out this Wednesday at Comic Shops Everywhere.
Excellent. Very good. This episode will precede that, so look for that at your local shop. And if not, again, go to the Moonstone website, moonstonebooks.com, and you can order some Honey West. Honey West is great. I think initially probably created to be an American Emma Peel from the Avengers, or even the previous and I'm forgetting her name now, Honor Blackman's Avenger character, because there's a real similarity there to me.
Right. I think she actually was one of the first female detectives in pulp, in popular fiction. There was a series of novels that the Ficklings wrote.
No kidding.
Yeah. I want to say there. Don't quote me on this, but it's something like 11 or 12 novels that came out, and then it was picked up for the TV show. And unfortunately, what happened was the show debuted, and I think it ran at least a season, and then the network was offered the Avengers from BBC at a cheaper rate.
So understood.
They're like, well, why do we have to pay to produce Honey West when we can just show the Avengers for cheaper? Honey West was really unique at the time because she was a female lead, and she was a detective. I mean, this didn't happen that often, especially not on mainstream television. So she really paved the way for many characters that came after her. In fact, Trina Robbins is going to be hosting a panel discussion about Honey West at San Diego Comic-Con this year, and Gloria Fickling, the original creator of Honey West, will be on that panel.
Oh, terrific. I hope to make it to that panel.
So that should be a lot of fun, and probably hear all kinds of interesting stories about Honey West from back in the day.
That's great, and you're right. I mean, characters like Honey West and Modesty Blaze obviously informed, I think, Marvel's Black Widow and Contessa Valentine from S.H.I.E.L.D. And all of those great 60s action women and stuff absolutely, take a page from characters like Honey West. And Anne Baxter, my God, could there be a more beautiful and a capable both, action hero and also very, very pretty woman, who, of course, goes back to Forbidden Planet from the 50s and everything, that great sci-fi
Francis,
movie.
Right?
Yes. Did I say Anne Baxter?
Yes.
I did say Anne Baxter. Yes, Anne Francis. There we go. Thank you.
Yeah, for many people, she embodied Honey West. I mean, she really did look the part. She had a great figure, great hair. She really projected the image as read in the books. It was just a lot of fun to see that, because I actually read the books before I started watching the show.
Oh, wow.
Because we had gotten the license. So, first I started reading the books, and then I finally got the show on DVD and started watching that. But it was really fun to see that, because she really captured, I think, everything that was Honey West on television. It was really nice to see her. Unfortunately, they did bring in a character that didn't exist in the books onto the TV show, which was Sam, her sidekick.
Sure.
Apparently, a woman couldn't be the main lead. had to have a male somewhere.
Well, it was the mid-60s. I understand. I mean, those are the sensibilities of the time, I guess.
The fact that she had the show, just that's good enough. Like,
sure.
Take what we can get.
No, it was a cool show, and it really was during that, Man from U.N.C.L.E. and 77 Sunset Strip kind of era, where all these action shows were on TV. And it was, I would say, as good as any of those. I mean, it really was good. And I didn't know that it was the network getting the Avengers at a cheaper rate that actually canceled the series, because I was trying to figure it out. I'm like, wow, this is really good. I'm surprised this wasn't popular.
I believe that is what happened.
Interesting.
That is what I was originally told when we first got the license.
And poor Anne Francis passed away right at the beginning of the year. It was such a shock.
I know. We're actually doing a Anne Francis commemorative Honey West parts issues 1 and 2 reprint that'll be coming out, I want to say, next month.
Wonderful.
And so it's going to have a couple articles about Anne Francis in there and various pinups and things like that, and then the reprint of issues 1 and 2 of Honey West. And there's also going to be an American Cancer Society edition. If you buy that, a portion of the proceeds goes to the American Cancer Society because she died from cancer.
Yeah, that's terrific. That's really great. Was there a lot of – because I know you guys have done those photo covers for the series. Is there a lot of existing publicity stuff from the series that you guys were able to use? Or
not in very it's tough because you want to have the pictures in high resolution.
Sure.
You know, and it's tough that there's only a small number out there. You know, Gloria Fickling had a couple, so the original creator of Honey West. Mm-hmm. So we've used those, and there's a few others that we were able to use. But there isn't as many out there in the high-quality version that we would like for the show.
Okay.
There's definitely some, and we've used a lot of them. But, you know, there's a couple of others that weren't really appropriate for the comics, meaning, like, it might have been a particular scene from the show.
Sure.
Which didn't really fit with the interior of the comics. But, yeah, the great publicity shots that we managed to get, we have used several of them, and there are more coming. And then there's going to be several of them in the commemorative issue coming out.
Very cool. What year were the books coming out? Were those in the 50s? Were they in the 60s?
I cannot.
See,
recall.
late
50s, early 60s. It was very, very early.
Okay. Because, yeah, I kind of assumed that it was more in the Mike Hammer era. And it's like kind of that level of what kind of, you know, how would you describe the novels then? Were they kind of really, you know, tough, gritty kind of, you know, detective fiction?
They're very pulpy, even though they're much later than the pulps. They just reminded me a lot of that type of formulaic detective fiction.
Okay.
But they were so much fun because Honey kicked a lot of ass. And she used her femininity to her advantage, too. So she wasn't afraid to flirt with somebody to try to get information or things like that. So she didn't, like, try to pretend that she wasn't a woman. And she dressed very, very nicely and got a lot of attention because of her figure in the book. And that happened again on the TV show because they got Anne Francis.
Absolutely. And have you ever, I don't know, have you read much Mickey Spillane?
Not in a long time. So
but you have. So was, you know, I mean, the sexuality in the Spillane books was pretty graphic and stuff. Did the Honey West stuff reach that level of sexuality or no?
There was definitely some suggestion, but it wasn't as explicit, I don't think.
Okay. Because, yeah, I'm interested where these, you know, where these different, you know, detective stories fall. And as you say, you're describing it more as the pulp era and stuff.
Yeah, just reminding me of that because, you know, they're very short novels.
Okay.
Obviously, I want to say they were at most 200 and some pages. So they're just these little pops. They reminded me of the reprints that they did of the Doc Savage and the Avenger novels.
Sure. Oh, the recent ones. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so you've just got, you know, this little, a book that you can read in an afternoon.
Yeah, it was the paperback era. I'm sure these were meant to be like fast reading paperbacks. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah, they were. You know, they were just like disposable reading. You know,
sure.
And you know, they sold in large quantities, very much like popular fiction today. You know, just like a paperback or an e-book that you pick up, you read it, you enjoy it, you pass it on to a friend.
Have you read many Modesty Blaze, books or the comics or anything like that?
I've read some of the comics. I actually haven't read any of the books.
That's cool. Kelly Sue DeConnick breezed through town last week, and she and I have talked about Modesty Blaze in the past, and again, the ties to characters like the Black Widow. And those comic strips that, and I'm forgetting the company right now, the British company that put Titan Books.
Yeah, Titan's been putting those out. They're really nice.
Excellent. Beautiful art and really good stories. And yeah, I mean, they also put out the James Bond comic strips, and I think are very comparable to the Bond strips. So that's neat stuff.
Yeah, and those collections, yeah, they're the same oversized volumes. They're really nicely done.
Yeah, very beautiful stuff. Very nice. That's excellent, man. I'm very excited about Chicks and Capes. I think that's terrific. You know, again, I really enjoy the Moonstone format of these short illustrated stories. You get quality writers, and they're always fun things. And especially when it's something like this group of characters, new characters, it'll be fun to see the designs and what new heroes you guys come up with. Are you able to, after this book, you know, possibly use some as in some sort of miniseries or whatever at Moonstone?
We can approach the writers. They are characters that they created for the anthology, but they own the copyrights on those characters.
Understood.
So we asked them to create these characters, and we had talked before about possibly doing an anthology of Chicks and Capes or something else down the line. You know, we'll see what happens. But we've been getting some good press on Chicks and Capes so far, so hopefully that will continue, and maybe that'll lead to more Chicks and Capes.
Fantastic. And that is out in the stores already, Chicks and Capes.
Correct, yes. You can buy Chicks and Capes now at your local comic shop or your local bookstore. If they don't have a copy, again, yes, moonstonebooks.com is the place to go. It is our oversized paperback format. It is $14.99 and very similar in format to the Kolchak Chronicles, Kolchak Casebook, the Spider Chronicles, the Avenger Chronicles. We've got, there's the Vampires book, the Werewolf book. Yeah, they're all the same format. We have a selection. We usually get a selection of comic book writers and prose writers, so we can kind of mix it up and appeal to both the comic book fans and the regular fiction fans.
Very cool. Well, nice going, Lori. And again, look forward to what's happening in Kankakee on Saturday. And continued success with Moonstone Books. You and Joe do a great job. And again, I've always appreciated the not only finding the licenses of things, but also, writing great stories of characters that are in, you know, the public domain, whether it's been some of the radio detectives that you guys have written about before, the Airboy stories that continue to come out that I think are wonderful. Chuck Dixon's been doing a great job for you guys with Airboy. And it's great to see him back on Airboy and writing the character so well. So that's great. Keep it up, and look forward to more good stuff from Moonstone. Nice going.
Well, thank you so much. One of the next anthologies we're working on right now is a Honey West anthology of new short stories.
Oh, terrific. Oh, very good.
Yeah, so Honey's still going, and then we've got several more issues of the comics yet to come out, so a lot more Honey coming our way.
Very, very cool. Well, that's excellent.
And Amazing Fantasy Books and Comics is very pleased to be co-sponsoring the Kankakee Fantasy Con with the Kankakee Public Library. I can't encourage everyone enough to come out. It's going to be a lot of fun, and it's a free day, and it's a great event for people of all ages. There'll be activities for kids, and the adults will find plenty to look at and to browse through, etc.
Excellent. And if you haven't shopped in the South Suburbs at any of the Amazing Fantasy stores, highly recommend them. They're wonderful stores that carry all... both independent, great independent titles, all the mainstream needs that you have. I've gotten great comic strip books over there, books about comics. You guys get it as far as providing the right, I think, mix of books and everything for every comic taste.
For sure, yeah. Our selection really can't be beat. It's an incredible selection of graphic novels and, yeah, like you were saying, books about comics, art books by fantasy artists. Of course, we also carry a full line of board games and role-playing games and science fiction novels and fantasy novels and other types of collectibles like action figures and statues and, of course, superhero-related T-shirts and things like Hello Kitty and Tokidoki, you know, something for everybody that can appeal to the fans of comic books.
Very cool. Well, I will see you in Kankakee. I appreciate your time today.
Awesome. Thank you so much, John. I hope other folks can make it on out. So it's 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. on Saturday, June 4th.
And that wraps up this edition of Word Balloon. My thanks to Lori Gentile, Art Baltazar, Franco Aureliani for joining the program today. Good conversation. More details on the DC reboot as they unfold. Again, I like to take those stories when all the facts are in and give it good analysis. And we will do our best to get good interviews as Flashpoint continues all the way up to the DC relaunch. And we will see who we can talk to and gain more perspective as this story unfolds. That'll do it for this edition of Word Balloon. John Sutra saying thanks again for listening, reminding you that you can find Word Balloon every week at iFanboy, of course, at our own home site, wordballoon.com. Our archive of well over 400 interviews is going strong, and there are lots of great conversations waiting for you if you've never come to the website. Subscribe to the Word Balloon feed via iTunes. Don't miss an episode. Questions or comments about the show, we've got our message board at Jinx World. Brandis is very kind to host us over there. But also you can reach me via email, john@wordballoon.com. Follow me on Twitter under John Word Balloon or on Facebook under my name, John Sutras. Until next time, Word Balloon is a copyright feature of Shaky Productions, copyright 2011.